Just as I am without one plea.
Good morning from your friends and neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. The Rock Creek Church of Christ is glad to share this program with you. We hope it will help you as you seek to know God and what His will is for your life. On our last program, we left off in Mark chapter 5. We were talking about Jesus casting a group of demons called Legion out of a man. These demons had driven this man to the point of absolute insanity. He was out of his mind. People could not bind him. They tried to bind him with chains, and he would just break the chains apart. He was living in the tombs. He was crying out night and day. He was cutting himself until Jesus came along. Jesus cast the demons out of the man. The demons go into some swine. The swine run down into the sea and are buried. And when those in the town close by come to Jesus, they find the one who had been demon-possessed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. You might remember back in chapter 4 when we were talking about Jesus calming the sea. After he calmed the sea with just a word, his disciples were afraid. These people, after they saw this man completely healed, they were afraid. They were afraid because no one could deny the great power that was demonstrated. This man was out of his mind, and Jesus, with a word, was able to grant him complete peace so that he was now clothed and sitting at the feet of Jesus, a place of discipleship. In the schools of great rabbis, the students would sit at the feet of the teacher, and that's where we find this man. The people, though, don't want Jesus to stay around. They plead with him to leave immediately. Jesus gets in the boat, respects their wishes, but the one who was demon-possessed begged Jesus to go along. Jesus, though, tells him, no, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. One of the things that these miracles teach us is God does care about our situation. When we find ourselves in pain, in agony, in a difficult circumstance, and we cry out to God, God hears us. He's sympathetic to those things. And while we may not be healed of an illness, we might end up dying from that illness, it doesn't mean that God has turned a deaf ear to us, or that he's insensitive, or that he does not care. No, these miracles remind us that God does care about us, that he does show compassion toward those who suffer. So to me, that's a very comforting thought. Jesus sends this man back to those who are closest to him with the instructions, go tell these people what God has done for you. And as I mentioned on the last program, I see this miracle giving us a spiritual lesson because we see the influence that Jesus has on the life of someone who is trapped in sin. The man possessed by the demon represents someone who is enslaved to sin. But Jesus comes along and he completely transforms this man's life. And that's what Jesus does for us. When we become Christians, he transforms us. And we're not to hold those glad tidings in. No, we're to go out and share them. And Jesus says, go out and tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell the people that you love about all the wonderful things that God has done for you. So friend, if you're a Christian today, and you're thankful for what God has done for you, don't just bottle it in. Don't just say thank you to him. Go tell someone else about it. The man follows Jesus' command. He departs from there and begins to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. People will notice the effect of Jesus in your life. I remember a man one time who'd lived pretty rough. And he didn't come to Jesus until he was well into his 60s. He had grown children who had watched him live a very different life, and they saw the change in him. This man began to participate in the worship service at the congregation he attended, and within a couple of years, he was a completely different person. It was really a reason to marvel. And we had real reason to praise God, and everyone noticed. Everyone could see it. Mark goes on to tell us that Jesus crosses over the sea, and a great multitude gathers to him. And one of the rulers of the synagogue comes to him, a man by the name of Jairus. He sees Jesus, he falls down at his feet and begs him to come heal his daughter. Jairus says, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live." Jesus' reputation precedes him. As soon as this man can find him, he does, and he just begs Jesus to come help him out. Now, a ruler of the synagogue was a man, typically a layman. These weren't men from the priesthood. These were just members of the congregation that had been chosen to serve as someone who would look after the synagogue building and supervise the worship of the synagogue. So this is a man who's held in high esteem by his fellow Jews. He asked Jesus to come heal his daughter. Jesus goes with him. The multitude follows him, and Mark tells us that they were thronging him. And the sense I get is that Jesus is making his way, but he's running into people, rubbing shoulders with people. People are reaching out to touch him, including, Mark tells us, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. I don't know what exactly this woman's condition was, but it sounds like her blood was not able to clot. I'm no doctor, so it would be foolish of me to speculate as to what she was suffering from. Mark, though, tells us what degree she had gone to find healing. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. There might be people listening today who can relate to what this woman was going through. Maybe there's someone listening today who's had a very serious physical condition and has been to doctor after doctor after doctor and either found no answer or it took a long time to find an answer. I've got a good brother in Christ who lives a few states away, who suffered from a condition his whole life and was not diagnosed until he was well into his 50s. He'd been suffering for decades, and no one could explain why he was the way he was until finally he met the right doctor and got the diagnosis, and they've been able to help him with his situation. So this is a woman who's in a really desperate position. She knows that she has no hope, and so she goes with faith in hope that if she can just touch the clothes of Jesus, she's convinced she will be made well. I think Mark is trying to show us the level of faith, the depth of faith that this woman has in comparison to others. I mean, people are rubbing up against Jesus as he's making his way through this multitude. But it's this woman, out of all of them, who is made well. And it seems to be it's because of her faith. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, says Mark in verse number 29, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. So again, the result was instantaneous. It did not take days or weeks or months for this woman to improve. She improved instantaneously, and she could feel her body heal. But she's not the only one who felt something. Jesus knew that power had gone out of him. So he turns around to the crowd and he says, "Who touched my clothes?" He even knows that someone has touched his clothes. His disciples are confused. They're like, "Hey, Master, you see the multitude thronging you and you say, 'Who touched me?'" So their point is, people are touching you all the time and you're only concerned about one person? He looks around and he sees the woman who's been healed. She's afraid. She tells Jesus the whole truth as she falls down before him. And Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." And so she does. He continues on to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. And when he arrives there, the people who have been waiting inform the ruler of the synagogue that his daughter is dead. Jesus looks at the man and he says, "Do not be afraid, only believe." In this chapter, we've seen a Gentile who had faith, who was healed. We've seen a woman who no physician could cure. She is healed by her faith. And now Jesus says to the ruler of the synagogue, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He takes with him Peter, James, and John, the three disciples who were a part of his inner circle. They go into the room where the child's body is lying. Jesus puts everyone else out of the room, except for those three men and the child's parents. He takes the child by the hand and says, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, to you I say, arise." And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. Jesus has the power over the forces of nature. He has power over the demonic realm. He has power over sickness. And my friends, Jesus Christ has power over death. I am persuaded that the grave of Jesus is empty today, that it's been empty for close to 2,000 years. And it will remain empty until Jesus returns. Because Jesus rose from the dead, he was able to take a little girl by the hand and command her to arise. He, like God, could impart life because he is the Son of God. And to all of his followers, Jesus gives the promise, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Friend, Jesus is going to return one day. And when he does, all who are dead will rise from the grave, both those who are wicked and those who are righteous. I pray, my friend, that you are among the righteous when the Lord returns. And if you're not, then look to the Lord, look to his word, and find out how you can be numbered among the righteous and enjoy that resurrection to eternal life.
As we draw this week's lesson to a close, your neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ want you to know that Jesus expects us to obey him. Jesus said many people think they are going to heaven, but only a few will find the narrow way to eternal life. Jesus wondered why people called him Lord but refused to obey him. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Jesus expects us to listen to his teachings and follow what he says. If you want to learn more about the commands of Jesus and the need for obedience, please visit us at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. Our church building sits 2 miles south of Walmart on Highway 59. We meet at 10 a.m. on Sundays for a Bible study, 11 a.m. for worship, and then again at 1:45 p.m. for a Bible study. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Please join us as we worship God, encourage one another, and learn more about God's will for our lives.